Thank you, Sarah. So we are going to have, next up, we're going to have a speaker. We actually, how many people were here for the Tenants Convention? About a little over a year ago. So a little over a year ago, we had a speaker who moved us all, who talked about their struggle to save their building on Market Street. Their whole building was being evicted, and they were leading a fight to save that building and save their homes, just as Sarah was talking about. And we are glad to see that she's with us today. They're still fighting, and they're still in their homes. Chandra Redden.
But you know that the important thing is that we we support each other, argue with each other, love each other, that we've got each other's backs. And enough of us are still living at 1049 Market Street a year and a half later. And we are still working on charting our own course. We have a right to live. The homeless have a right to food, medicines, dignity, and housing, for starters. I do want to thank Supervisor Jane Kim, the Board of Supervisors, and yes, the Appeals Board for making recent decisions in our favor for a number of tenants in the mid-market and south of Market Street areas. And the fact that the fight that we tenants at 1049 Market Street have made has helped some of these other tenants in the area make us feel honored to be able to give back to you. So I have learned from my experience, and I truly believe that if you fight back, if you resist, you will always gain something. You will always be better off than if you do not fight back.
Right.
Let's kick butt. Let's kick major butt. Si se puede, peace out. Thank you.
North Beach. I've lived in the building for 7 years, and a little over a year ago, our building was sold to an investment group who wanted to evict my neighbors and I, many who are long-term, low-income, senior, and disabled tenants, and re-rent the units for over around $1,300 a month in my building, which is more than what I get on my benefits for $1,100. And so since this investment group has purchased our building, over two-thirds of our neighbors and myself received alleged violations, eviction notices, you know, for things such as hanging and doing laundry. We even got greetings, like warnings about putting Chinese New Year greetings on our doors. That's right. And we faced harassment by our property manager, and one particular property manager loves roaming the hallways, photographing us in our daily lives, and many of us felt intimidated and scared. We knew that we were in danger and losing our homes. We have to unite to address the ongoing threats of eviction and harassment. And you know, what would happen is the manager would ask us to go to nearby coffee shop or to chat and offer buyouts. And every time we know when there's coffee hour, we know it's not really about coffee. And so, and when we refused, they sent eviction notices to us. We lived in fear, not knowing who would be next and what would happen next, myself and others. If we were to lose our unit, we would have nowhere to go. For many of us, it's the housing of last resort. It's really a place that, but it's still our home. And for us, you know, what we've seen in this housing crisis is that the landscape has changed so much. Rents have risen to unprecedented levels. We have to fight, you know, coming together as tenants, and also really want to thank the community support as well, whether it's China Community Development Center, Community Tenants Association, and our Asian Law Caucus, but really the community and San Franciscans citywide. What we really need to do is, what we did was we held a rally in front of our building and, you know, protested the unjust eviction notice we received. And we had to take a stand for our building. But really, our stand is a stand for San Francisco. Our stand is a stand for our tenants living in fear of harassment and intimidation in our city. And it's unjust. Our story is a reflection that many tenants face in this housing struggle in our city. And while we're not sure what the future holds in terms of us feeling we still face harassment by management, we're unsure what our landlord's next steps are, you know, the rally in itself is a victory in itself, you know, a stand that we will fight back. We don't stand for injustice, and that in doing so, collectively, we have power. And so, they rescinded the eviction notices that we received and even dropped a lawsuit from one of our neighbors. Without the action, without the community support, victory would not have been possible. And I'm sharing this story because I hope you feel, for those that are facing eviction and struggle, empowered in that process and fight, that you do have strength, we have strength together. And neighbors and sticking together, protesting evictions and speculative investment groups, that we at 200 Lane support and want to be there for you. And so power to the people, thank you.
We have one more speaker and then some other presentations just regarding the balance of the day. Wanted to get everyone's attention for one of the tenants who was again with us last year and has been with us on many struggles, even though she herself is going through an eviction. She has been with us counseling, organizing selflessly, and we're deeply appreciative of her work. And what we asked her to do is to tell us her story, because so often she's working on everyone else's. This is one of the many Ellis cases, the Ellis Act cases that our tenant convention last year focused on. But I think although her struggle is still going on, what we also wanted to do is to ask some of the other tenants who've won their fight to come up with this. So this is part of our presentation. We wanted to talk and focus on the Ellis Act. So Teresa Flandridge, can I ask her to come up, Teresa? Teresa. And give her a round of applause. Mr. Leon, these are tenants who have also fought, and they have won their case. And we thought we would give some backup for Teresa and her statement that she's still fighting her fight, and we wanted her to talk about her struggle. Oh, Mrs. Lee is up here too.
Mrs. Lee.
All right, so Teresa.
Thank you.
This is a bit emotional having this lady stand right next to me. And because she's been my mentor, she has actually inspired so many people in North Beach especially to stand up and fight. Diego De Leo fought his eviction, and he said when he saw her at the first North Beach Tenants Committee meeting we had, he said, if she can do it, I can do it.
We love you, Mrs. Lee!
So my story begins back in 1982 when I started working at the Telegraph Hill Neighborhood Center in North Beach. This is a center that is multi-generational. It initially was a settlement house helping new immigrants enter into life here in San Francisco. So multi-generational, multi-racial. It was this amazing place where I was then introduced to something called community, neighborhood. A year later, I was able to get a place in North Beach. I could leave the foggy, transient nature of the inner sunset and actually get a place a block away from my workplace. Wow. Only because Polly Molinari, a senior at the center, had heard that I was looking for a place, and she called saying, hey, they're just carrying Mr. Tarantino out right now. You still looking for a place? Polly, That was the start of a relationship that went on for many years, because I continued to work at the neighborhood center and then stayed home to raise my son. I raised my son in North Beach. He also volunteered at the neighborhood center in tutoring after school kids, also at the swimming pool. So this is this amazing community where we have always helped each other. One hand washes the other. An exchange program of I tutor someone's kid for 4 years in English, he goes off to college, and I get haircuts for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Yeah? We have always cared for one another, and my building alone, there have been many of us over the years, because I've now lived in this building for 32 years. My building mates have been there between 16 and the 32 years. So over the years, we've had chicken soup go up and down the stairs. We have had videos and then Netflix. We've had LPs, cassettes, and CDs. We have always been there for one another. And so it was easy when our landlady at 92 became injured, and we all came together and said, okay, how are we going to help her stay in her home, which was just up the stairs. So for 5 years, we as a building, as well as the storekeepers in the commercial place, came together to take care of our landlady. When the landlady passed away, her niece from Southern California inherited the building. And once the papers were signed that the building was legally hers, the niece proceeded to do an owner move-in, which ended up being a fake owner move-in. This could be proved because neighbors saw that lights were set on timers, that they were rarely there. They came up right around the first only. And so that was an owner move-in. That was the beginning. And then in April 15th, 2013, we received an Ellis Act notice. None of us had any idea what that meant, and slowly put it together. Oh, that's why so many neighbors have disappeared. It's the Ellis Act. And many people left, again, not knowing their rights. Shame, because for the first time, they were no longer welcomed in what had been their home for many years. So we found out that Marla and Joe, in a building down the street from us, were also being evicted. There were 22 of us on one street, one block, in 2013 that received an Ellis Act notice. We came together as a community. So not only my building came together in saying, we are not leaving. April 2014 came along, and we were supposed to be out, but we did not leave. We are there today. We said we would fight, and we have to fight for not only us, those on our street, but for everyone. And we have to make sure everyone knows their rights so they do not leave, so they may stay in their home. How can you age in place today if you have no place? How can you be a community if you remove our elders, our historians, our mentors from our neighborhood? How can kids grow up to know respect, dignity, giving, what community is, if we don't have the multi-generational groups there, if we don't have diversity? We are Chinese, we are Italian, we are German, we are French, we are everything under the sun, or have been, in North Beach. And we are fighting right now to keep people in their homes. My eviction was overturned. It was actually dismissed on August 22nd at 5:08 p.m. I received the call. However, just a month ago, I received another call that the eviction is on, and I am still fighting, and I will not leave North Beach. Nor will my neighbors, nor will my housemates, who are, one man in particular is 68 years old, a Vietnam veteran, almost completely blind. He is second generation North Beach. His daughter and her children live five blocks away. This is community, this is family. That's who we are in this city. And none of us should leave. None of us should leave our homes. No.
So before you leave, Teresa and the rest, Teresa is in, she is fighting addiction now. We don't know what is gonna happen. And you know, sometimes our only defense is people power. It's not in the courts. Sometimes you fight a fight. The International Hotel was fought for 10 years. People were on the line. So many people were on that line when the sheriff came to take people out. And then people fought even after they were evicted and it was turned into a hole in the ground. And that fight ultimately led to senior housing. But that struggle continued. But the reason I'm saying this is every so often we have to put ourselves on the line. And I think that when tenants like Teresa puts herself on the line, we need to stand with her. And I'm wondering who in this room is ready to stand with Teresa if and when the time comes. Who's ready to stand if you're ready to stand with Teresa?
Yeah.
Stand here.
Yeah.
Stand up. Let's stand with Teresa.